So last week, Pastor started a series called Living Large, and I'm looking forward to this because we're going to have a little fun tonight because we're going to pick up where he left off at the end of service, how to experience increase through generous living. And Pastor taught a message called Empowered to be Generous. Well, what does it mean to be generous? To be generous means freely giving or sharing what is valuable to you with others. It means providing more than the amount that is needed or normal. To be generous is showing kindness and concern for others. To be generous is liberal in giving, open-handed, and high-born of noble birth. And he introduced us to the author of generosity. See, our God is a giver. Our God is a giver, and he has given us his absolute best. Ephesians 1:3 says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's already done it. He has blessed us, so we are blessed. Psalms 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Those who give their lives to Jesus Christ, those who are living their life one day at a time, it says, no good thing will God keep from us. Josh talked about God's extravagance at creation. Everything we see, every plant, every animal, every complex creation was God's idea. Every night before bed, I let the dogs out and I walk out on our back deck. In fact, I just did this last night. I looked up at the sky and just marveled at the stars. And just said, God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you. I said, thank you for this little patch of ground you've given me in Canton, Pennsylvania. This is amazing what you've done here. But all of it connects us back to a deeper understanding of our God. Romans 1:20 says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. You ever listen to the radio and you hear a song come on and you already know who the band is before the singer comes in because you recognize the style of music? See, all of creation has the same author, so we can see the creator in the creation. God created everything. So as we see everything around us, we should know God just through seeing his creation. I love Colossians 1:16. It says, for by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. All things, everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Everything you have, everything you see, everything we are has been given to us by a creator who loves us, a father who prepared a place for his kids. Pastor Josh talked about the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. What a fantastic gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, the blood of Jesus, I've been thinking about this for weeks. The blood of Jesus is the highest form of currency in the universe. The blood of Jesus is the highest form of currency in the universe. It is so precious and so valuable that it can physically buy your eternal life. It pays for our eternal life. It is the highest form of currency. And God gave that to us. That should be encouraging, because if he's already met your greatest need, how much more will he meet your other needs? If he cares about our eternal life for the billions upon billions of unlimited years we're going to spend with him, don't you think he cares about your earthly life, the short time we're here? He does, church. Josh talked about one of the most unique things about God's love is that God's generosity is directed at his enemies. This is amazing. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It would be one thing to say God died for his friends. It would be one thing to say that we all were crying out, you know, God save us, and he sent Jesus to save us. But that scripture says we were all saying, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want anything to do with you. And he still said, I'll save you anyway. We were saying, God, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to live however I want. And he still, when we were in that state of mind, said, I'm going to send Jesus anyway. God's generosity is directed at his enemies. Eternal life in Christ is a generosity that has no ending. So I do want to get into some fun stuff tonight. You all had homework last week. And if you were here last week, you remember that. We're going to get into that. I can't wait to hear from some of you how it turned out. I did have a couple people call in their homework because they weren't able to make it tonight. But Josh ended service last night with a segment he called Generosity 101. And I love he used the scripture, 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And by doing this, they'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. You know, if we have food in our fridge, if we have clothes on our back, if we have a roof over our head and we have a place to sleep, we are richer than 75% of the entire planet. If you have a dollar in the bank, in your wallet, and some spare change in a dish, you're among the world's top 8% of wealthy people. And as children of God, generosity is a part of our God-given nature. The more time we spend with God, the more we want to become like him. And God is a generous God. Generosity is a matter of what's in our heart, not what's in our bank account. You know, we empower generosity by exchanging ownership for stewardship. When we come to an understanding that everything we had comes from God and ultimately belongs to God, it becomes stewardship, not ownership. I like the example. You know, I have four wonderful children. Many of you know my kids. But I will tell you, they're not wonderful all the time. And I remember not too long ago, my oldest, Simon, he's 11, he's great, but he was fighting with some of his siblings, because don't you know that whenever they get a new toy, they all want to, everybody wants it, everybody wants to fight over it. And this just turned into this big ruckus. I mean, they were just going at it. And I'll be honest, sometimes my patience meter runs a little low when my children start fighting with each other. So I come into his room, and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, you know what? You don't own anything. I said, this house, this is my house. This bedroom, this is my bedroom. That bed over there, that's not your bed. That's my bed. Those clothes you're wearing are my clothes. The carpet you're walking on is my carpet, and the toy that you're fighting over is my toy. So sometimes we need to show them it's not about ownership, it's about stewardship, and that they don't own anything. We just let you have it. We don't own anything, but God has made us stewards of everything. And the biggest lie that stops generosity is, what if I don't have enough for me? What if I'm generous, but there's not enough for me? Well, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. That's Jesus talking. It says, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And Pastor ended last week with what he called the generosity experiment. I believe he had Mike Steele. He handed out 10 $20 bills and passed them out here in the sanctuary. And the rule was you could not give it back to the church. If you received one of those $20 bills, your job was to pray about it and find someone this week that you could bless. Now, maybe you chose to bless just one person with $20. Maybe you split it up. Maybe you bought coffee for your office this week. Maybe you put gas in somebody else's car. And then on top of that, just so that everybody was on the hook for something, he asked every one of us to choose one thing, whether it be time, whether it be resources, whether it be finances, whether it be wisdom or a random act of kindness that we would offer to God. And he asked us to do that this week. And I want to take just a little bit of time and open things up to testimonies this evening. And I have a reason for doing it. Testimonies put legs on the vision. Testimonies are an encouragement. Now, the Bible says we're not to announce our giving with a trumpet, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is a teachable moment to a community of believers and as an encouragement to us that we know one of the hardest areas to turn completely over to God is our trust in money. So where are our $20 folks? Do we have any of our $20 folks? We got one here, got a couple. So I'll start with one that called in. But I'd love to just come to you and just, I'd just like to know what you did, how the people responded, and what that did for you, what that did on the inside. And Aaron Stroud was one of the people, and he called in and he said he was in Tops in Elmira, and he was coming out of the store, and he had that $20 bill in his wallet all week. He was just waiting and looking for an opportunity. And he said he saw an elderly lady sitting in a car in a parking lot. And he said the car was super old. He said it was probably even back from the 80s. And he said the car was super beat up and it had this I Love Jesus license plate on the back of it. And then he said he was going to his car. He was going to grab a Love Struck card. And then an elderly man comes out and he was limping to the car. And Aaron said he got his Love Struck card, he got his 20, and he went over and he blessed that elderly couple with the money. And he just said their faces lit up, but more than that, it made his entire week. What that did for him was incredible. So how about our other $20 folks?
Me and Michael had to go to Geisinger the next day for his MRI. And we decided to buy 20 coloring books and donate them to the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital.
That is awesome. Now, did you get to see any of the kids, see them distribute them?
No. Nope, they wouldn't allow us.
What did that do for you when you were able to do that?
That made us really happy to give to somebody who needed like we did.
Isn't that amazing what giving does on the inside of us? Where are some of our other $20 folks here? I'm going to get a workout tonight. Get a look at this. This is the only running I do.
I went out to breakfast with my sister, and part of it went to a elderly couple. She had her arm all wrapped. You could tell she had just gone through surgery. So we gave part of it to theirs and paid their lunch, and then the rest of it went to a dear friend. Her lawnmower broke, so my husband and I both went over, and we push mowed her acre and a half yard. But we used the rest of it for gas for that.
That's awesome. So what type of response did you get? Were you able to see the reaction from any of those people?
The couple didn't realize that we had paid for it, but she had tears running down her face that somebody had paid for her lunch. And then Jen is the girl that we mowed for, and she was shocked, and she actually gave us $100, which helped with his finances with him being hurt.
Given it shall be given to you. We're going to be talking about that tonight. That is a fantastic testimony. And what did that do for you on the inside to be able to help people like that? Awesome. Where else? Who else? Where's our $20 folks at? Back here.
Hi. So me and my daughter went to we have this little diner we like to go to in Elmira. And my daughter's not walking with the Lord, so I knew this would be a good testimony to her. And we wanted to give it to our favorite waitress, but she wasn't there. So I was thinking of being a little bummed out, but then another family came in. She was a single mom, I found out, and you could tell they didn't have much at all just by the look of them. And it was a little boy's birthday, so I was sitting there thinking, oh, maybe I'll give it to him. He was 7 years old that day, and then I heard her say his name. She's like, what are you going to order, Mark, which is my son's name. So I was like, okay, Lord. So I said, I have a gift for you. I took one of the Love Struck cards. So I put the 20 on the Love Struck card, and I said, this is for your birthday. And that little boy getting $20 was like, I gave him a solid gold bar. But my daughter, who's 18, was crying. She's like, you're so good, Mom. And I said, I'm not good. I go, first of all, it's easy to give away because it wasn't my 20. And
come on.
It's easy to give away when it's not your money. And so I said it was completely easy to give this away. But I said it's really how amazing. It's not even a sacrifice because how amazing you felt doing that for someone. I got the bigger gift, and it was a wonderful testimony to my daughters.
That's awesome. Gave you a rush, didn't it? Awesome. Somebody over here. Dylan, can you get another mic ready for me and help me work both sides of the room?
Actually,
I'm tired.
Well, I was at Walmart, and I don't know if all of you know, but I have 5 daughters, so when you go shopping, sometimes it's a chore. So basically, I was in a hurry, kind of just to get what we needed and to get out. But then I remembered something that I needed, so I turned around, and as soon as I turned around, I heard this family, but I didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, the Lord was like, that's who you need to give it to. So I was like, oh, okay. So then we turned around. I said, girls, you just stay here, look at toys. I didn't tell them what I was doing. And this lady was with her husband, and they had a bunch of kids too. So I just approached her and said, God told me to give this to you and tell you that he loves you and just want to bless you today. And she was like, you don't have to do that, you know? So I said, no, I just want you to have a good day, and, you know, and that was about it. So
what did that do for you?
It was great, and it was nice to be able to tell my girls that afterwards, and they were like, oh, really? You know, so it was good.
That's awesome. It's amazing how much more interested people are in hearing God loves you when you hand them a 20, too.
Yeah, I went to the Family Dollar and asked that they would make a donation towards the next person who bought baby diapers. Having 4 kids in diapers at the same time, I understand sometimes that's $100, $140 a month for diapers. The clerk was very, very amazed, and I handed her a love struck card and asked her to give it to whoever got benefit. And she looked at the card and she says, now that's the kind of church I could be involved in. And she was very very impressed, and she says, this is going to make my whole day, maybe the whole week.
That's awesome. Awesome testimony. Over here. Oh, Mike, you're being helpful for once.
I didn't have to go very far. I work at a homeless shelter, and one of the ladies there is on probation, and they keep her so busy she has a hard time trying to find work. But they want her to, and she is definitely looking. But I gave her that 20, and she looked at me like I was crazy. I said, well, it's not mine. It came from the biggest church in town. I said, they love you, and this is just a love offering to you. And she still looked like I was weird because, you know, she's not used to getting, somebody coming up and giving her $20. And she was very appreciative, and thank you very much.
She's used to the church saying, give me your money instead of here, have some. Do we have any other $20 folks? How about someone else? How about someone else who did something, a random act of kindness or something you did this week?
My sister-in-law got one of the $20 bills, and on Mother's Day, she took the 2 little kids, dressed them all up, and went to the personal care home with flowers and distributed them to the grandmothers there. And she had extra money, and she bought coffee for somebody at the donut shop.
And what did that do for her? That's awesome. Dave?
Thank you. I rode my motorcycle here last week. So on the way home, I decided I'm going to just take Route 6 and go out that way instead of taking the back route. Well, as I'm going past the iron skillet, there's a gentleman trying to push his four-wheeler off the road in front of me. So after I pass him, my brain wakes up, and I go, wait a minute. And I get the impression maybe this was a cue. So I turn around, and I was able to park off the road and walk over to him and ask him what he was doing, and he said he was trying to pop start it. So I was able to stand there behind him and try to give him a push to help him get it started, and he thanked me as he took off. And then as I walked back across the street to my motorcycle, the next person who was coming along on a four-wheeler was hauling supplies, and he drove across the street to thank me for helping the other person. And then real quick also, On Friday, well, actually, I did at least remember to tell him that the Lord tells us to be there for each other. And, you know, maybe that was an opportunity if I remember that last part. And I'm wondering if that wasn't an appointment. And then on Saturday, real quick, on Saturday, my dad and I were working outside in the rain for whatever amount of time with our sheep, which, by the way, after being a shepherd or a shepherd's hand, I really have gained new understanding for the Bible saying all of us like sheep have gone his own way. It's not talking about them being stupid. Sheep are not stupid. They can be stubborn. we're working outside in the rain for whatever amount of time. We came back in. You couldn't have soaked our clothes nicer if you put them in the washing machine. And like that day or the next day, I walked out and there was $40 sitting at my place at the table. They wanted to give me that.
That's awesome. Do we have two more tonight? Two more?
This isn't this week. This is a couple years ago. My wife and I were trying to really budget our money, really be super strict. So we cut out all eating out, things like that. Well, I had promised our kids, we have four, we promised all four of them, if they basically jump through the moon, I will take them to McDonald's. They love McDonald's. I personally don't care for McDonald's, but they love it. They completed everything I asked them. I was totally dumbfounded, and I was in the drive-thru knowing the grief I was going to get as soon as I got home because my wife was going to tan me. Somebody in front of me paid for our meals, and I'm dumbfounded by it, but I'm also a police officer. So I immediately grabbed their license plate, run their plate later, and realized it's the Zenowiches. They were on a budget too, but they believe you reap what you sow. So they blessed my family. So they're just a wonderful, wonderful group of people. They have more kids than us. I don't know how they even do it, but you reap what you sow, and I just thanks.
That's awesome. Awesome. Any more? One more? I'll tell you, I like to get elaborate sometimes with giving. I like to blindside people. I like to surprise people, and that's what I did. I can't tell you all the details about what I did, but I did a card, put some money inside of it, and just surprised a friend who was going away this week. And that I'll tell you what, that blessed that person. It blessed me more than anything because I knew I was going to do it. I was looking forward to it all week. Like every day I'd wake up in the morning and I'm like thinking about how I'm going to sneak around and do this. And it was like my own ninja activity just getting this card to him. And for me, it made my whole week. It just, the blessing that I received in being generous, it was incredible. And I give God glory for that. So I want to move into something here. This is the second part of this series. It's called The Promise of Provision. Because the biggest lie that stops generosity is, what if I don't have enough for me? One thing I've learned over the years is that as I live a life that's growing closer and closer to God, there will always be adversity. That'll never stop. There's always going to be an enemy trying to get in my way. But I find it especially when I attempt to be bold and step out in a new area, that seems to be where the greatest adversity comes. And it makes sense because it's easier to stop a train before it gets moving. So the devil tries to stop you at the starting point because once you get a little momentum, you're going to steamroll right over him. And when it comes to giving, the challenge that we all face is the thought of, if you give some of yours away, there won't be enough for yourself. And that's a challenge we all face. What if I help this person, but then I'm in need? And that seems on the surface like a reasonable and irrational thought on the outside, and that's what makes it so tough. But the truth is, that statement is a lie. Because it's in direct conflict with the promises of God. God is our provider. God is our father. God is our caretaker. And when we're influenced by that line of thinking, What it does is it causes us to respond in fear. It causes us to draw back on the inside. See, love is an outward expression. Fear is an inward expression. And it causes us to tighten our grip on our time, on our money, and on our resources. And before we go any further tonight, I want to put to bed that lie and show you some scriptures. And I chose scriptures that there's provision scriptures all over the Bible. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that talk about generosity and provision. I chose scriptures that particularly pertain to the giver. These are provision scriptures that are linked to generosity. And I want to start in Psalm 37, verse 25. This is David speaking. He said, "I was young and now am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed." David said, for those who are generous and lend freely, I have never seen it. I have never seen them forsaken. I was thinking this whole week, I'm trying to think of a time that I stepped out in obedience towards God in giving that I didn't receive a blessing in return. And I cannot think of a single testimony. All week long, I was trying to think of one. But I cannot think of a single time that I've obeyed God and given that I haven't received some sort of a blessing in return. I can't think of one. Luke 6:38. This is Jesus speaking, and I'm not going to call Jesus a liar. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you." All these scriptures are designed towards the person who is generous. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." See, we always use Philippians 4:19. This is a very popular scripture. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." As a beautiful provision scripture. I pray that over my life constantly. But what many people don't know is about three verses before that, Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, "No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." He said, "You sent aid once and again for my necessities." Paul said, "You helped me. You were givers. So because of that, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." A beautiful promise of provision. Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. Follow the Lord. Be more like God. God is generous. He said, he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, that's the hard thing, isn't it? We have dreams and we have things that we want to do, or things we want to save up for, or things that we want to have. But the Bible says, if you'll just get with God, he will bring those desires to pass. I can think of one testimony just comes to mind right away. A couple years ago, I wanted to take Simon to a Penn State game. And this just happened to be a time where the money tree wasn't blooming. So, but I didn't panic about it. I just kept doing what I do. I just kept living life. I kept tithing. I kept giving where God directed me to give. And lo and behold, somebody came up and offered us two free tickets. And it was for the Indiana game a couple years ago. And I just remember that being one of the best days. Well, why is that? Because delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of my heart. Did anybody get saved because I went to Penn State? No. God just loves me, and he wanted to give me the desire of my heart. I wanted to go to a football game with my kid, and I love God, and God loved me, and he gave that to me. So I encourage you to let God bring it to pass. If there's something you really want, if there's something you really desire, let God bring it to pass, because he can do it in the most amazing way. 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over. plenty left over to share with others. This is the word of God. God's going to give you everything you need, but not just that. He's also going to supply you what you need to help other people. So at the end of the day, it's all God anyway. He gives you what you need, and he gives you what you're supposed to give to other people. It's beautiful. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce, then he will fill. He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Honor God with your possessions and he's going to keep refilling your supply. Malachi 3:10, we use this scripture frequently on Sunday mornings for tithing. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God says, try me. He says, test me. It may, there's a person in my family, I can't say who it is, but I have a family member who doesn't want anything to do with God. And this family member and her husband, they make, I mean, together, they make almost three times what Jen and I make. But they're always struggling with money. They're always, their cars are always breaking down. Their furnace is always blowing up. They had termites in their house. Just problem after problem after problem. And the person, every time I tell them of just the wonderful things that we are doing with our family, they're like, how are you able to do this? How are you able to do this on what you make? And I say, it's all God. We obey God and God takes care of us, but God rebukes the devourer. When we give to God, he takes care of us and he can remove those things that are constantly attacking our finances. See, giving is a matter of trust. It's an act of faith. And you know, we're always trying to balance the world standard with the Bible standard. The world says that we're supposed to live to get. The Bible says that we live to give. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. And hear that tonight, I'm not pressuring you to do anything. I'm just sharing the word of God and, God willing, some testimonies of things God has done in my own life, because I can only share things that God has done for me. It says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And the first thing I want to point out tonight is our level of generosity determines our harvest. Our level of generosity determines our harvest. Back to 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, I will admit, I don't know anything about farming. In fact, I praise God for farmers, because without you, I'd be dead. Thank you, farmers, for everything that you do. I can't grow anything. And Jay, I'm not man enough to kill anything. So without farmers, I'm in trouble. But here's what I do know. What you plant is what comes back out of the ground. Now, I'm college educated here, so there, do take that nugget. What you plant is what comes back out of the ground. I know that much. Here's what else I know. The more of it that you plant, the more of it that comes out of the ground. Again, I'm a straight A student. I learned that. Here's what else I know. If you don't plan anything, it would be absurd to expect to get anything out of the ground, at least not anything you're looking for. Right on? I'm so smart. See, the Bible teaches that everything produces after its own kind. What you sow is what you get. And we're not just talking about money this evening. You know, you can sow a generous attitude and it'll come back to you. Some of the greatest successes I can think of at my time teaching in Troy in the classroom were based around students that I refused to give up on. And I continued sowing a generous attitude towards those students no matter what. I can think of students in my brain right now where other kids who were close to me would say, why do you give that person the time of day? All they do is misbehave. All they do is talk about you behind your back. All they do is cause you trouble. And I would say, because I see something in that child that's worth the time and worth the effort. And I can think of time after time in the 12 years I taught. I can think of students who everyone else had given up on. I can think of one student that I just knew that if I didn't reach that student, nobody else was going to even give them the time of day. And I can think of times that God just turned their lives around because we took the time to sow into them, to sow a positive attitude towards them. You know, you can sow forgiveness. You can sow mercy towards people. I think of another example. I worked for a boss one time, and I'll be honest with you, I absolutely hated this person, and I say this as a Christian man, and I realized that was wrong, and I told myself, I can't go on like this. I can't be a man of God and have hate towards this person, so I've got to change. I've got to do something different. So I decided that I was going to start praying for this person. I mean, this person would walk down the hall and they wouldn't even say hello to you. They wouldn't say hello to anybody. They were just nasty. But I decided that I'm not going to hate this person. I refuse to. So I started praying for him. I started praying for their family. I started praying for peace in their home. I started praying for prosperity over their home. And you know what happened? The strangest thing happened. This person would walk down the hall and they wouldn't say hi to anybody except one person. They always say hi to me. What changed? I did. I changed. I would rather me be the one to change than put that burden on someone else. I would rather that God change me than someone else having to suffer that burden. And over time, God actually made it so that I had a positive relationship with this person. Nobody else did, but somehow I did, and I wasn't sucking up. I was just praying for him. God did that. What we sow is what we get. Well, if we sow time, we get time. I think back to my time at overseeing Revolution Youth Group. I can remember one week I was preaching on giving with the high school kids, except I wasn't talking about money with them because they don't have any money. I was talking about time. I was talking about sowing their time. And I remember one student in particular, he said to me, I am so busy. I can't even think. He said, I don't have a minute to myself. I am busy from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, and I'm just going crazy. And I said to him, I said, well, do one thing for me. You're already overwhelmed, so this one more thing, it can't hurt. He said, what's that? I said, I want you to get up in the morning, and first thing in the morning, I want you to just give God the first couple minutes. You don't have to give him a ton of time. Just give him a little bit of time in your Bible. Just give him a little bit of time in prayer, and that's it. This young man came back to me the next Sunday night, because we used to do Revolution on Sunday nights, and he said to me, you're not going to believe this. I didn't have any less work to do. I didn't have any less activities to do. I had the same amount of chores. I had the same amount of junk to do, and I had more free time this week than I've had in months. Because what you sow is what you get. This young man sowed his time to God, and God made the rest of his time work. And the last thing tonight, and we'll pick up on this. God will make another opportunity for me to finish this because I've got some more stuff here. If you sow money, you sow resources, it's going to come back to you. And I'm going to share a testimony with you, and I'm sharing this not because I'm not a type of person who likes to share things to toot my horn. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing this because testimonies put legs to the vision. I'm doing this because it's going to be an encouragement to somebody. But there was about 4 years ago, God just impressed on Jen and I, impressed on our hearts that we had to sow. And we the amount to me at that time was staggering. God impressed on us to sow $1,000 to this person. And I don't know about you, but to me, $1,000 is a big deal. And at that particular time, we had, you know, God's always met our needs. We had enough to pay our bills. We had enough to put food on the table. But we had $1,000 in the bank. That's it. That was every last penny of what we had. And let me tell you, you face a gut check moment when you're looking at sowing your last dollar. But we decided we're going to obey God. We just know, we know how to hear from God. We know his voice. We know that we know that we know that this was him. So I wrote a card to this person. I actually had lunch with them, and we sowed the $1,000. It was on February 14th. It was Valentine's Day. It had nothing to do with Valentine's Day. But what was amazing about this is we sowed the money to this person. It blew them away. It's exactly what they needed. And 2 days later, we got a card in the mail out of nowhere, completely anonymous, and it had a check on the inside of it. The check was written on February the 14th, but it wasn't written for $1,000. It was written for $10,000. That's the power of obeying God and sowing and reaping. And at the time, and that money was such an amazing blessing to us. There are six of us living in our home. We had one bathroom. We were able to put a second bathroom in our home with that money. Because let me tell you, when you got to go and your five-year-old's sitting on the toilet singing songs, you're grateful for a second toilet. So God was able to provide that need for us. And I'm so grateful to him. And I hope this encourages you. As a giver, God will never leave you hanging. As someone who loves God, as a generous person, you cannot outgive God. He will never leave you hanging. Stand with me tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you that you're so generous. God, we're so thankful. God, you're so good to us. We live in the greatest country in the entire world. God, you're so good to us. You take care of us in so many ways. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you loved us before you even created the world. Thank you that you chose us before you even created the world. Thank you that you had a plan for us. Thank you that you already knew our name before we stepped foot on this earth. And you already had a beautiful plan and purpose for our lives. Help us to complete that purpose. Lord, equip us, anoint us. Help us that we never miss it, Lord. Holy Spirit, just be so strong in us that we always walk in the perfect will of God for our lives in every single area. Help us to reach someone else this week. Help every one of us that in our sphere of influence, we can just reach out and we can touch one more person this week. That each of us can touch one more person. Fill this house up on Sunday. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And Lord, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be on fire in this house. I believe that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, that Sunday is the day you'll be filled. I believe that if you have been filled, that Sunday is going to be a fresh anointing on your life. And God, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you. Have a great night. We'll see you on Sunday.